I have a reading this morning from the Reverend Frederick Buechner, who is a Presbyterian minister and writer. Here is the world. Beautiful and terrible things will happen. Don't be afraid. I want to start with a story I told here once before. It's a story about the future. I once knew a couple who had been dating for a while, and one of them decided that they wanted to get married. The other one wasn't sure that they were ready to commit, and so they talked about it for a long time, maybe 6 months, maybe a year. They talked a lot about the reasons why the one partner didn't feel ready. But at some point, the partner who wanted to get married framed the conversation differently. They pointed out that relationships can go one of two ways. They can end, or they can stay together. And this person admitted that they too were nervous about taking such a big step, but more importantly, they wanted to stay together forever. The partner who was hesitant realized that they wanted the same thing, and so they decided to get married. I considered stopping the story here, letting you wonder about how things turned out for that couple. But this church is like the two of them, people in relationship, constantly weighing how we feel right now against our long-term goals and dreams. So I think it's important for you to hear the ending. Here's what happened. It's actually the ending to just about every story. The couple went forward together into the future, always having to weigh how they felt at any given time against their long-term goals and dreams, just like we all do. And they tried their very best to live happily ever after. Always having to weigh how we feel at any given time against our long-term goals and dreams. About a year ago, Thomas Jefferson Memorial Church was reevaluating its relationship with Impact. After many years of participation, our enthusiasm for participating in the program seemed to be waning. And so, while preparing our annual budget and facing a deficit, we decided to cut the membership dues that we pay to be part of the Impact program. I think many of us thought this would be the end of the story for a while. But then, a handful of energized, dedicated members took up the cause. They petitioned the board for support and got the go-ahead to continue participating in Impact in spite of it not being funded in our budget. Then the group worked with the finance committee to figure out how to raise the membership dues through private donations. In the end, they raised more than $3,100, and as a result, our congregation's fully funded participation is back on track for the coming year. This doesn't mean that our engagement as an Impact congregation is secure for the foreseeable future. In fact, my point may be just the opposite. This relationship, like any other, is subject to the ebb and flow of life. The commitments we make are like a garden, always needing to be fed and tended if we are to keep them healthy, and sometimes even needing to lie fallow for a while. It's appropriate for today's service that today is Palm Sunday, which begins the holiest week of the year for many Christians. Holy Week comes at the end of the somber period of Lent and brings with it extreme emotional highs and lows. It starts with Palm Sunday, which joyfully commemorates Jesus' triumphant arrival in Jerusalem. As the story goes, over the next few days, Jesus preaches and teaches lessons to his followers, and in doing so, also attracts the attention of leaders in Jerusalem who feel increasingly threatened by him. The week continues into Maundy Thursday's Last Supper and his arrest, his barbaric crucifixion on Good Friday, and his miraculous resurrection on Easter Sunday. There are two levels on which we might reflect on the observances of the Christian Holy Week. The first is to be mindful of the dramatic highs and lows that are observed during this week. It's a roller coaster of events that together comprise one of the Christian faith's defining moments. But somewhat separate from the observance of the events themselves is the expectation of them leading up to Holy Week. This time is not just about Easter and the resurrection, it's about the flow of the entire week, especially as we approach it towards the end of Lent. If you're a Christian, you don't go into Holy Week without knowing that you'll be experiencing both the best and the worst of Jesus' relationship with the world. This expectation serves as a good model for thinking about our own preparation for the extremes that come from being in relationship with each other and with the world. Even as we hold fast to the commitments we make and keep as we move through our lives, we can expect that part of our journey may involve directing some of our energy away from those commitments, and part will involve directing it back towards them. It's a natural rhythm, like an athlete resting between workouts, like the tides or our annual trip around the sun. One of the impressive things about Impact is how it structures its solutions to weather the cyclical nature of engagement. Impact seeks policy changes that are self-perpetuating, as opposed to traditional charitable work, which tends to provide support only at the time the charity is being given. So, for example, charity might provide people with free dental care by raising money to cover people's bills. Impact created a free dental clinic. This model allowed it to serve over 1,800 people in 2016, up from about 150 people when it was founded a decade earlier. Similarly, Impact addressed the need for affordable housing by starting a housing trust fund that has received over $10 million in investments since 2009. Again, its reach has been magnified since its initial year. So when our own Rev Wick talked to Ruth Berta, our contact on the Impact staff, about our declining engagement, it's not surprising that she took the long view with us. TJMC has been a solid member since the beginning, always bringing one of the largest contingents of congregants to the annual Nehemiah Action Assembly, which, if you missed it, takes place this year on April 24th at 6 p.m. at the Martin Luther King Performing Arts Center. Ruth let us know she welcomed our participation and wanted to maintain the organization's relationship with us as we worked through what we wanted our role to be. Not unlike the way, if you're a Christian, you strive to stay present through the ups and downs of Easter week, knowing that your faith doesn't exist without an intimate understanding of those ups and downs, Impact strives to stay present through the ups and downs of its member organization's relationship with the program. It's an acknowledgement that Impact doesn't exist without its member organizations, and its ongoing well-being benefits from acknowledging the inevitability of those ups and downs. Up until now, I've been talking about how the energy that we have for our commitments is subject to peaks and valleys over time. However, among systems of individuals, such as families, coworkers, sports teams, or the membership of a congregation, we also see fluctuations in engagement from person to person. Part of our conversation around Impact this year was whether we should have cut the membership dues from the budget in the first place, whether our assessment of the waning interest level was true or not. It's a meaningful conversation, and yet it also obscures the truth that our level of commitment is an amalgam of hundreds of unique and constantly changing levels of commitment, the sum of which defines where we are as a congregation. Accepting that we're all at different places on the path is meaningful too, as it impacts the way we decide to move forward as a church. It's also a truth that honors the individual heroes who step forward at times when we don't know who might step forward. It's Greta Dershimer and others grabbing our Impact work by the collar and hauling it back to its feet. It's Walter Hoffman jumping into the yard sale, Cindy Shepherd responding to the need for a church auction coordinator, or Stan Walker agreeing to chair our finance committee, and of course, many, many others. Fluctuations in the energy we have to devote to our commitments allow that kind of thing to happen. It's someone needing to step back that creates space for someone else to step forward. And it's someone willing to step forward that creates space for someone who needs to take a step back. Because our engagement level is constantly evolving, there is unique value in living our commitments rather than just saying them. We say, for example, that we support environmental justice, but what does that mean in practice? How carefully in our own lives do we control the production and disposal of our garbage, live in ways that reduce our carbon footprint, or make spending decisions that help the environment? What we voice verbally about our commitments is just the tip of the iceberg in terms of what we are actually saying. Our commitments are made real by the actions that back them up. I'd be remiss here if I didn't mention our commitments to the church. Stewardship experts will tell you that one of the benefits we get from making a financial gift to the church is having the opportunity to align our resources with our values. Giving voice to the things we're committed to, and in doing so, creating meaning and fostering a sense of belonging here. This is true of our time commitments as well. We can say we love the church or embrace Unitarian Universalism, but those commitments only become real through the time, energy, and resources we devote to it through our volunteer efforts. It's no different than the way I might say that I love my spouse. I can say it, but the love only solidifies over years of working, struggling, arguing, and compromising together. I can say I love my children, but it comes to mean something different after having changed thousands of diapers and having sat awake countless times tending to illnesses and comforting them about bad dreams. So showing what we are committed to is different from saying it. In the Christian narrative we've been talking about a bit this Palm Sunday, the Christian Bible describes Jesus as God's Word made flesh, a physical embodiment of what it means to be loving, forgiving, service-oriented, and prayerful. If you identify as Christian, his tangible example resonates in a way that words themselves just don't. As another example from our Judeo-Christian sources, imagine how much less impactful it would have been if God had given Moses the Ten Commandments on a stack of hand-scrolled parchment cards instead of etching them on big old stone tablets. Similarly, our commitments are made flesh through our actions. They become real only by us making them real. I haven't said much about the fallow period I mentioned earlier, the quiet time between episodes of engagement. We humans can be hard on ourselves when we need a break, need to take time to breathe, or decide to back off. But we can't be at our best 100% of the time. We need to let ourselves recharge, and we need to listen to ourselves when deciding how much time we need for it. Sometimes this means leaving a job or taking time off from something in our personal lives. This also happens at church, however. However, with church, we can fall back on knowing that we have a supportive community waiting for us when we get back. About 20 years ago, I served on the board as TJMC's first vice president of administration. We had just decided to have two vice presidents, one for administration and one for programs, and I was elected to serve the admin role. At the same time, we made a decision to move from one to two services, and our longtime minister accepted a call to a new church. It was quite a handful, administratively speaking, and at the end of my term, I decided to take a sabbatical from church for 6 months. Or so I thought. I must have been more burned out than I realized. Between needing time off, two small children, and a looming divorce, that sabbatical stretched to 5 years during which I only attended services a few times a year. And when it was time to come back, the church was glad to have me. We all find the church and leave the church and find it again, in all sorts of unique, large and small ways. Our lives change, our needs change, circumstances pull us one way and then another. But the church endures. It's been here for us for 75 years. It's here for us today, and it'll be here for us tomorrow. Please do not take this to mean that you don't need to come to the Impact Nehemiah Action Assembly on April 24th at 6 p.m. at the Martin Luther King Performing Arts Center. And don't take it to mean we're absolved of the expectations that accompany being a member of this community. Being present in some way on Sundays, pledging as generously as we're able, and committing time to make our church and the larger world a better place. It only means that the commitment we make to each other comes before the other commitments we make as a congregation. Our shared covenant is the glue that holds the church in place so that any one of us can move through the ebbs and flows of engagement that define us as human. You carry some of the weight on your shoulders for a while. When you need to sit and rest, I'll carry it for a while, and so on. I started this morning with a story about relationships and how they can either end or stay together. Let me tell you how it is for me. Many years from now, I expect to spend the last Sunday morning of my life right here in this sanctuary, hopefully with many of you, surrounded by people who don't look like me and don't think like me. Between now and then, I expect to see the comings and goings of many different church issues. I think that our commitment to impact will someday decline again and then revive again. We will continue to make our financial pledges and our volunteer pledges and have generous years and not so generous years. We'll raise our children into amazing Unitarian Universalists, and then we'll raise their children. At times, we'll be paralyzed by fear, anxiety, and indecision. And at others, we'll be brave, loving, and confident. I don't really care what you think about impact. I do. But I know you'll find a place here, whatever your cause is, and as we've seen, impact is in very capable hands. I don't really care how much you pledge. Now I'm really lying. I do. But if you bring a generous heart, and I have come to know so many generous hearts here, if you bring a generous heart, we will figure out the pledging. What I really want to know, what I think each of us really wants to know from each other is this. On that last Sunday, many years from now, right here in this sanctuary, who's with me? Who's with me? May we continue to live into our commitments, nurture our mutual covenant, and always find ways to be a blessing to each other. May it be so.